being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. Kyle, good morning. You're wrong for that.
Dude, that was on Friday, too. You didn't even notice.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, because I knew you were changing the intro over the weekend, and so I was like, all right, let me check this thing out on Monday. And
Squatch call made it in.
Not even the good one, the bad one. Not that either one of them was good.
It's because it sounds like you're rolling into a what's better than this, because you start laughing halfway through it.
Oh, man. It's I guess it's on me. I never stop providing dumb stuff.
Good content. Yeah, it's good content is what it is.
Yeah, you know, thank you. So what do you think about, speaking of good content, what do you think about this Hard Knocks? Schefter put out that the plan is to double dip with the LA teams, Chargers and Rams, and have a bigger Hard Knocks this year. You immediate reaction to this? Because I have thoughts.
Yeah, I think if you wanted people to care about these teams, you probably should have left them in the cities they were playing in. But that's all I think about it. We are going to try so hard to make LA like the mecca of football, and it's just not. And that's my immediate knee-jerk reaction. It's like, oh, okay, we're going to force feed and jam the Rams and Chargers in LA down our throats again in another classic setting. Like, we'll just wait till they move the combine to LA. It's just this, it feels so forced that it's like pushing the LA vibe of the NFL when you haven't been there for like 20 years. And now all of a sudden we're back with a vengeance, and we're going to try as hard as we can to make everybody buy in and get excited about it.
Yeah, the NFL loves the density of the population there, man. They're trying real, real hard. My initial thought when I saw this was, okay, well, who was eligible for Hard Knocks? And as people probably know, the three criteria for being on Hard Knocks is that the team hasn't made the playoffs in either of the last two seasons, the team doesn't have a first-year head coach, and the team hasn't been on the program at any point in the last 10 years. That gave you a...
So you've done the work on this, haven't you?
Yes. So neither the Chargers or Rams fit the criteria. So they have so much wanted this that they have thrown aside their own criteria to get the Chargers and Rams out here. Here are the teams that are eligible. And you tell me if you would rather have one of these than both the LA teams. Pittsburgh Steelers, Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos.
I would have rather had Detroit for the train wreck.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Pittsburgh.
Right.
For twilight of Big Ben's career, and I would enjoy seeing how Tomlin operates.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver.
Because you know that Fangio would be a delight.
I think that's an interesting program. Yeah. the program's at an interesting spot. So who are the other two?
Arizona and Jacksonville. Arizona was my number one pick.
Yeah.
Kyler, want to see how he's made up some behind the scenes stuff there.
Bringing in Nuke and.
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. I want to see what Cliff Kingsbury's about, you know, like just what are those interactions like? What is he like when he walks into a team meeting? I think there's some mystery there. I mean, we just had the Rams. We had the Rams on Hard Knocks and All or Nothing, like consecutively.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, the Chargers are certainly more interesting than the Rams to me, but I don't know. You're right.
They'll be pumped. They'll get two on Hard Knocks with the Chargers.
No, Jordan loves going to the Chargers, which is plenty. All of that's covered in the take. So we should.
Oh, we do have some, you know, some quarterback landing spots here.
All of that's kind of in there. Some ridiculous things are in there.
Very good.
Question I actually spent 10 minutes on Google trying to figure out my answer to. So, yeah, we've got stuff to get to here.
Oh, and I haven't seen it yet. That's great.
Yeah. All right. So you see the first one here?
Yes. This is a take. I'll give it to you because we've already somewhat tried this.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a take from Jack. Tack from Jack. Yeah, there you go. Kyle should force Joe to watch Rick and Morty, but Joe has to live tweet it like Trevor has with Game of Thrones.
Kyle's already forced me to watch Rick and Morty.
Gave it one episode.
Then a second one. So the one at my house, we were sitting in my office and you were like,
the pilot,
whatever that was, P pure.
That was the pilot episode, the very first one.
Yeah. Well, I was even under the influence, and
it 40
didn't matter. Still 40. And then we were at your place in the great state of Delaware with my wife, and you're like, let's watch Rick and Morty. And guess
what? No, Lorraine wanted to see it.
Because you were wearing a t-shirt with Rick and Morty on it.
Okay, then don't throw me under the bus and say I was like, yeah, I would have put this on the TV for you. She but was like, oh, I want to see what it's about.
Kyle, you're like one of those guys. You've seen these people that have like an old-time wallet with like a big plastic sleeve full of pictures, and you find any reason to like break them out and show people certain things about your past.
Because I wore the t-shirt?
No, so that's you with an opportunity to show somebody Rick and Morty, because you pound the table for it. I cannot
wait to whoop your fucking ass in this mock draft competition tomorrow.
You hear that, folks? Vote for Joe. I've tried to watch a show. It's bad. So imagine like me watching enough episodes of this to actually live tweet it. Couldn't do it. Are we going to be able to get back on the rails here, or you're fired up?
I don't know. It's my turn to have a take. So you're going to give it to me, or you're going to sit here and complain the whole time?
Oh, Kyle, salty. This is from Ezra Cleveland's daddy with the Vikings logo.
We should note that's a name from the premium Slack channel.
Yeah, they get
it's not a Twitter handle.
Wild in there. Longevity is why people think Jerry Rice is better than Randy Moss. Longevity isn't a detractor for Hall of Fame.
I am not going to touch the actual debate of Jerry Rice versus Randy Moss. I refuse, just like I refuse to touch on LeBron versus Michael Jordan. What I will say is this. These two guys did it differently. They did, as Ezra Cleveland's daddy points out, it's very weird to say out loud, they did it for different periods of time. But I think it's a matter of when you grew up, how you grew up, how you were exposed to the game. I think those things will greatly determine the people who favor Jerry Rice versus the people who favor Randy Moss. I would have loved to have seen what Randy Moss's final career numbers would have looked like if he had the longevity that Jerry Rice had. But I don't think either one of them is lesser because one did it longer or one did it shorter or one was more explosive or anything like that.
Don't you think with these two players, like, no one's going to debate that Randy Moss isn't a superior physical talent than Jerry Rice. But I think that there's beauty in both of them, right? You've had this crazy athletic freak that makes amazing plays. And you have this guy that has been cerebral, did it for a long time, had some of the most productive seasons in NFL history, and was like fully maximized within their team and their operation and had a lot of success. Like, there's more than one way to be great.
Correct. But it just becomes who's the greatest with no context. And that's why I don't want to touch it.
Yeah. And there's tiers of it. I mean, that's just how it goes. Not all levels of great are the same. So
take from Sam. Frank Gore shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. Appreciate the longevity. Wow, it's the theme of the day is longevity, huh? And consistency, but playing for 15 years shouldn't get him in when he's never been one of the best backs in the league.
We don't think there was a run there where Frank Gore was like one of the best backs in the league for a while. And I think that this goes back to the fact that like he has been so consistent for so long at a position where guys are, you know, overlooked as quickly as possible at running back. And Frank Gore has found a way to be a feature guy and at least a meaningful contributor late in the last couple seasons. If that contribution to the game isn't meaningful to you, I don't know. To me, it is. It's not like he was a, you know, backup quarterback or like a backup offensive tackle that was just the security blanket. Like, he was a meaningful player for a long time. I mean, mostly as a starter, except for the last couple of years. So I don't know. I think Frank Gore's a Hall of Famer. I do.
I don't think there's any question he will be in the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, in the Hall of, in the high criteria that everyone seems to have in their own mind of what a Hall of Famer is, I, you know, if you're looking for, okay, this guy was the best player at his position for 7 years in a row, like, no, yeah, he's not that. But if his, if you don't think his contributions to the game are worthy of enshrinement in Canton, then I question what's impressive to you.
I'm not going to say, I'm not putting Sam, who gave us this take, in this bucket. But what do you think of these curmudgeons that are like, oh, there's too many players in the Hall of Fame. It's got all watered down. It's back in my day, they only put the absolute best of the best in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a low percentage of guys that get there. You know, I
right. It's like we're complaining about too many and there's like 380 guys.
It's like we're majoring and minoring here. I think it's hard to get in the Hall of Fame, and I think that it's special. And I mean, there's guys that I don't necessarily love as Hall of Famers. There's guys that I think should get in, but
Zach Thomas,
right? Zach Thomas, Rondé Barber. I mean, there's plenty of guys that I think should get in, but it's special. It's a very, very small percentage of people that get in there. There's, and like, and that's what's kind of fun. Sometimes I like to just go back to like look at old seasons and rosters and stats, and you're like reminded of all these really good players and even like Pro Bowl level players, and they're not in the Hall of Fame. Like, I think maybe that would help people with some perspective, is like, go back and think about all the good players that you've watched in your life, and they're not all in the Hall of Fame. They're not even in the discussion, a lot of them. So is this one for me? For you. This
for
one's
me. For
you. All right. This one comes from Ian Rahulaport. Rahul from Premium Slack. He says, take, there is a greater possibility that only two quarterbacks are taken in the top 20 than there is that four are taken in the top 20.
I have a really hard time seeing both Tua and Jordan Love or Herbert and Jordan Love sliding out of the top 20.
Getting three, right?
Three's the lock. What's more, I think you're more likely to see a team that will jump up into the top 20 to draft that fourth one based on the scarcity than you are to see two of those guys slide out of the top 20 altogether. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I think it's better to err on the side of that.
I will take the trade up.
Yeah.
Bull Bittler. Isaiah Simmons would have a higher impact for the Giants than Jedrick Wills in year one.
This one has had my head spinning a little bit. It's a fun question. Two very similar rated players on my board. So right tackle for the Giants is going to be Cameron Fleming right now. That's definitely upgradable. And linebacker, I mean, they're looking at this Ryan Connolly, Blake Martinez, David Mayo possibilities at linebacker. And obviously Simmons would bring them a whole lot more range than they currently have. I sort of go back to protecting your young quarterback matters the most in terms of the roles these guys could fill. And certainly both players could really upgrade what they have. But, you know, Daniel Jones with the fumbles and how often he was sacked last year, combined with some of the really exciting flashes that he have, I want to give Daniel Jones his best chance to succeed. And I think doing that by giving him a tackle to the caliber of Jedrick Wills would be the most meaningful thing that the Giants can do in year one. So that's where I'm at with it. But I mean, Joe, you could convince me otherwise.
We have breaking news.
All right.
Steelers GM Kevin Colbert has proposed the NFL draft adds three more rounds for 2020 to offset COVID-19 restrictions.
Really? How is that better? Is it because of sort of the selective opportunities for UDFAs and being able to target them a little bit more effectively? Why is this good?
Okay, the quote, it's from New York Daily News.
Okay.
Colbert's stance is that a 10-round draft would widen a club's margin for error. He declined to comment for this story.
Oh, wow. Okay, so just because you have more picks, you're just basically prioritizing the UDFAs. There's not 10 rounds worth of draftable players.
Right. You get beyond, would you say, the fourth round?
Yes.
And you're literally either taking developmental players, specialists, or exactly what you just said, prioritizing UDFAs.
Is it good for the play? So is it good for the players? More will get drafted, and I think that's going to help. We've talked about how it's going to hurt small school guys. It's going to hurt injured guys. It's going to hurt guys that didn't have a pro day, stuff like that. Does it matter if you're ninth round draft pick, though? You're still, I mean, it's, they say that, this goes back to our, well, let me say this, the argument that people used to make, like, for seventh round guys, like, it's probably better to go to UDFA because you get to pick your destination. Do you take that opportunity away by adding three rounds?
How the hell are you going to do, getting the UDFA scramble in is going to be chaos this year.
After 10 rounds or after seven? You think this after helps organize? Seven.
I think it helps. It's teams will pull less UDFAs, but I think it helps remove chaos from the UDFA component of this. But that's not even why Colbert proposed this.
But that is a good point, because as you know, that process for getting UDFAs is everyone in your organization is on the phone calling guys. And now yes. You have that's more challenging than ever. And I sort of like that. I think that in this year, I think I like it. I don't know what the downside is. Other than you're just going to have 100 guys more that don't deserve to get drafted that are going to get drafted.
Well, just keep an eye on the horizon, because we got 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks to figure it out, and we got a proposal that leaked. I don't know if the leak's going to do anything with it.
Yeah.
But this is a story that just came out.
Looking forward to your 10-round mock draft, Kyle.
No, God.
Okay, Vontel. This is the one that I spent time on Google trying to figure out my answer, and then I didn't even find my answer on Google. He says, what celebrity would you love to see playing for your football team for one season? Position doesn't matter. Cannot be from another sport.
So a non-pro athlete.
Yeah, you don't get to pick LeBron James or something
like that. I'm doing The Rock.
Okay, I thought that would be the popular pick.
Dwayne is my guy. I love The Rock.
Okay.
And obviously he's a former football player, former professional wrestler, but he's straight up Hollywood. He's a tequila distiller. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
He was supposed to debut his tequila brand in March, but he walked it back and they did like a slow release based on everything else that's going on in this country. But he's just like A+ personality, role model. You know, he could play football because he used to at the University of Miami. I think that's my guy. And that for me is a pretty cut and dry answer, even though he's would probably be a little long in the tooth. He'd have to be like a 1 year veteran deal.
All right. So I think that's a good pick. My pick is Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg's like 5'8".
5'8", yes, exactly. That's kind of concerning to me that you knew that off the top of your head. So my thought process, though, is I got a slot receiver and a guy that can play special teams, cover kicks.
He's 48 years old.
Dwayne Johnson's 47.
Okay. And Dwayne's not 5'8".
I'm not asking him to do something that requires him to be tall. I'm asking him to cover kicks and maybe moonlight as a slot receiver.
So you want him to be, what's his name from the
Vince Papale.
You want him to be Vince Papale. Okay. Right. Cool.
He's going to go.
Cool.
Win a championship.
All right. So this one's for you.
Yeah.
From Dion. Better chance of happening, Jordan Love being the third quarterback taken in the draft, or Joe Marino improving on his squatch call?
I don't think my squatch call is getting any better. I'm not going to be committing any time to it, I'll tell you that. You got take one and take two living in the audio archives of Draft Dudes. So that's not getting any better. And I do think that Jordan Love is the third quarterback taken. So,
timeout.
Yeah.
You want to run that by me one more time?
I do think that Jordan Love is the third quarterback taken by the Chargers at number 6.
Which makes who QB4?
Tua.
Oh How the mighty have fallen. We have changed our tune here.
Yep.
You were just going to casually slip this in here and hope we could just walk right past it on the pod?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you have this acceptance?
I don't know. Just maybe some nuggets I've pieced together over the last few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have not changed your personal stance on Tua, but you believe the actual transgressions of teams is going to lead to Tua being the fourth quarterback drafted when it's all said and done.
I think the quarterbacks come off in this order: Burrow, Herbert, Love, Tua.
Okay.
Do you disagree with me?
I think there's some variability between 3 and 4. You could sell me either way.
Right. But we both agree that Herbert's 2.
We do.
All right. Love it. I love it. Okay. The sports nut. The Panthers double dipping on defensive line and grabbing AJ Epenesa would be perfect. Be the perfect fit for Matt Rhule on his multiple 4-3-D. See Lynch at Baylor. The big Epenesa would be a compliment to Brian Burns. So I think he's making the point that they should come away with Epenesa and Lynch in this draft.
Okay. Epenesa I like a lot in a multiple front defense. James Lynch, for me, is a late day 3 guy. I don't think he has really appealing tools to play at the pro level. But I will bet my house that Matt Rhule and the Panthers end up drafting him.
Guaranteed lock.
Right? It's like, okay, the real question is, can the Panthers trade Curtis Samuel so that they can draft Denzel Mims as well?
Wait, what pick do you think they're getting for Curtis Samuel?
I have no idea.
Call up Bill O'Brien. Damn, what does he got, 40? You can get 40 for him, right?
Well, apparently I saw something in the rumor mills that said that Curtis Samuel was a potential target for the Eagles via trade.
Not for 22, though.
No, not for, but, and then, like, assuming Carolina dumps Samuel, and then they trade back from 7, and now all of a sudden this team can draft, you know, say Miami trades up for an offensive tackle, and they give you, you know, 18 and 2 2s. You mean to tell me this team, if they trade up Curtis Samuel 2, wouldn't end up thinking about maybe taking Denzel Mims? And Matt Rhule just goes out and gets all his guys, and they got the big powwow in Carolina.
That's so stupid. I hope it doesn't happen.
Temple guys and Temple tough guys and the Baylor dudes.
Yeah, that's a great strategy there, Matt Rhule. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Kyle. And Curtis Samuel would be a player you would feel like the Eagles would love to have in terms of how they like versatile weapons that can, you know, line up.
And they need some extra speed, right? They'll get DeSean Jackson back, and that's a huge thing. But even Curtis Samuel is a little bit more of a gadgety Swiss Army knife. Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be chaos, but I definitely could see James Lynch. I would take the Panthers over the field for James Lynch. And Epenesa, I would really like if they can load up on some extra draft picks, maybe get them in the early 2nd.
Yep.
Okay. Take from Joshua Carlson. The Bills would be better off, if this happens, moving up to 1 for Burrow than if the Dolphins stayed put. So he's saying Buffalo, from a Buffalo perspective in the AFC East landscape, Buffalo should be rooting for the Dolphins to trade up to 1 for Burrow versus staying put with their picks.
Yeah, that's not me. I don't want Joe Burrow on the Miami Dolphins at all.
Why not? So,
because he's an elite quarterback prospect that would absolutely take this Dolphins team to the places it wants to go. And you and I have talked about this off the record. I don't care. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I don't care what it takes. I don't care about giving up 3 first round picks, even all of them this year, plus a 2 or something next year. I don't care about it. Nothing is more significant than getting Joe Burrow. And the deal here is, we love draft picks. Let's be sober here for a second. They don't all pan out. You're talking about 5, 18, and 26. One of those players isn't going to be good. Okay. I know that I'm going to get an elite talent at quarterback in Joe Burrow, the type of guy that can lead your team to championships. I don't want that guy in Miami. I want them to sit at number five and take a chance on Justin Herbert and go get an average offensive line prospect and some other player that they draft. That's what I want to see as a Bills fan. I don't want Burrow in Miami.
So your dream draft, if you're a Bills fan looking at what the Dolphins are.
I want you to get Herbert, Josh Jones, and then
a running back at 26.
DeAndre Swift. Give me that all day. That's what I'm sitting over here hoping for. I don't want Burrow. Don't tell me that that trio of players is better than Burrow. You've lost your mind.
Okay.
So I'm all about sitting over here sweating bullets, thinking about Miami getting the number one pick and getting Joe Burrow. Combined with what they did this offseason with young talent, combined with that coaching staff, can't have it.
What are you doing after this? You want to come on Locked On Dolphins and talk up Miami's offseason?
No.
All right. I got this one from Jason. Give it to me.
I feel like you got too much satisfaction out of that. So that was a moment of weakness for me. Jason says, with Ruggs, Judy, and Lamb all beginning to look out of reach for the Broncos, would it be better for them to trade up to 10 for Ruggs or sit at 15 for Kinlaw or Henderson?
Now, how do you think you're going to pull the Browns out of 10?
Oh, Browns are moving back. Yep.
Yeah, but the problem is everybody else around them wants to move back too. And you might as well just get your offensive tackle if you're Cleveland.
Cleveland likes Ezra Cleveland. They're going to move back to 15, 20, get an extra top 100 pick, and they're going to draft Ezra Cleveland.
Well, that's why you're the Browns.
Well, sure.
Holy shit, you're kidding
Ezra
me.
Ezra Cleveland is 100% a Cleveland Brown. He is athletic. So for their analytics-driven front office, okay, they're going to love everything about Ezra Cleveland. In terms of
you
what
could
he fits
stay put
it, capital.
You could stay put at 10, and you're going to get one of the top four guys, and you're going to move back 10 spots to pick up 99 so that you can draft Ezra Cleveland instead?
Yep. Yep. And Dane Brugler talked about this on his podcast recently, and I'm all the way in on it. All the way in. He said they love Ezra Cleveland. And you think about that front office, the analytics-driven front office in Cleveland, they are going to love the idea of an athletic tackle like Ezra Cleveland plus draft picks. Get ready for this to happen.
But you have athletic tackles that you can pick at 10.
No.
That are twice as technically polished.
You can look at Dallas. You can look at
Denver.
Shoot
me to the moon.
Philly. Get ready for this.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert. This is going to probably be in my final mock draft. I'm all the way in on this.
Oh, Cleveland, don't do it.
No, they're going to.
Walk out of here with Andrew Thomas at 10, man.
Right. But if you think Ezra Cleveland's in that same tier, which I don't know how you can. Plus the Boise State staff loves him and raves about
him. I am mad online.
Yeah, well. They're ruining your quarterback, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Free Baker and free Deshaun.
Right. A couple of your guys, right? Those are your QB1s in the last couple of years. That was 17 and
17 and 18.
QB1s,
yep. Okay.
Wait, who's your QB1 last year? This guy's toast. Who is it?
Kyler.
Oh, you hate to see it. Well, they're doing a good job, man. They just got him nuke for a ham sandwich. So
right.
All right. So far, so good there.
So, Jason, to answer your question, I think if I'm Denver, I would move up into the top 10. This team's got extra draft picks at their disposal. They've got, what, 3 threes?
Something like that, yeah.
So I think they go 15, 46... I think 83 is one of the threes. Doesn't really matter. I think you've got extra picks at your disposal. I am jumping up, yes, to make sure I go get my guy to really unlock the potential of Drew Lock and give him no excuses. Just let him go out and sling that deep ball. He's a pretty deep ball passer. He's got the mentality to push the ball down the field. You give him Ruggs as a space stretcher. And then you got Cortland Sutton on the other side. You can do some really nice things. And then a speedy guy with Noah Fant in the middle of the field. So I think you should do everything in your power to really set the skill players for Drew Lock, because it seemed like Garrett Bowles at least turned it on for the last month of the season last year. He gave you enough of a sample size where I'm not willing to stay put and just concede not getting a receiver and not getting an offensive lineman and going defense.
Looking forward to your article named Lock Unlocked.
Unlock, lock. It's like start the car, right?
You did. You said that casually in the middle of your sentence, and I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Lock, unlock. You can really unlock lock. You said that. All right.
Michael Christopher. There will be over 15 and a half SEC players drafted in the first round.
All right. I got the list up. Burrow, Tua, Brown, Jedrick Wills, Jerry Jeudy, Chaseon, Ruggs.
Six, seven.
Kinlaw.
Eight.
Andrew Thomas.
Nine.
CJ Henderson.
10.
Patrick Queen.
Is he going first round?
Well, I've already skipped over Xavier McKinney, DeAndre Swift. Grant Delpit's there. Justin Jefferson. I'll take the under, Kyle. I'm taking the under on this.
Taking the under on this.
Yep.
Taking the field. Taking the field.
I think I'm taking the under. I don't think this is the field.
Well, it's the SEC versus everybody. That makes it the field.
Okay. Well, I think that there will be less than 15 or less players from the SEC drafted in the first round. It'd be like 12 or 13. Okay. Last one. Here it is. This comes from Mike Evans, the Buccaneers wide receiver. It's a tattle take turned in by Brody. And Mike Evans tweeted recently that Harry Potter is the greatest film franchise of all time.
You ready for this?
Yes.
What do you think my answer is going to be?
Big no. You don't like Harry Potter, do you?
Harry Potter is shite. Period.
My wife.
You're a wizard, Harry. Ha.
My wife plays it.
Wand battles. Really?
All the time.
I didn't know this about Lorraine.
It's one of her flaws. Doesn't have many, but this is one of them. It's, you just walk in the living room. She's got it on. She can't, like, if it's on TV, she's putting it on every time. She loves it. She wants to go to Harry Potter World in Florida, right? Brother, man.
Harry Potter World?
Yeah, they added it to Disney World or something. It's a
big
part.
I think it's pretty sure it's like called something. I don't think it's called Harry Potter World.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Harry Potter World.
The Wizarding World.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Okay, well, you know, that's pretty friggin' cool.
Tell you what, if we'd have called it Harry Potter World, we would have had to knock it all down and start from scratch. That was not an acceptable name for this destination.
Well, I'm telling you what I'm dealing with. I got a wife who I care deeply about, that I want everything that – don't want to give her everything that she wants in life. And one of those things is to go to Harry Wizarding World of Harry Potter. What do you do
Good
with
luck.
That, Kyle? What do you do with
Good
that?
Luck. Hope you got your Quidditch and your
oh no,
and your wand. I cannot wait for the family photo of you guys, and y'all got wands.
Feel bad, man. You know, I've drug her ass to like West Virginia to see Garth Brooks. We've traveled for football games. Like, how do you have
to go?
Yeah, you have something like this on your radar that's staring at you in the face.
Something that I have to do that I'm not interested in.
Yeah. Some, you know, is Mrs. Krabs, is there something that she would like to do that you're dreading?
She's not a movie person. Like, I feel like the worst thing that she could ask me to do would be like, do one of those like board and brush things. And like, I'm totally cool with that. So
she frequents them. Yeah. Have you done one? I shared mine the other day on Twitter.
Yeah, that was a big mistake, sharing your painting.
It was bad. I knew it was bad. That was the point of sharing. It's like, share your art. Okay, here you go. This is the only thing I've ever painted in my life.
I don't know why you want to look at it, but you know, if you're a true artist, you take it to like a local coffee shop, put it up on the wall, and sell it for $160.
Somebody offered me $500 for it. And
no,
I sent
they
them,
didn't.
Yeah, I sent him a link to my Venmo, and I still haven't seen $500 in there. And so he hasn't gotten his painting. So... Circle That's back, cool. brother, if you're listening.
Oh, man.
I'm ready to ship it off. I just need my Let's, 500 first.
We got to shut it down. We're done here. Hope you guys enjoyed Takes on Takes. I know we enjoyed it. The Mock Madness competition at the Draft Network is off to a good start. Joe and I both looking to advance. We both have over 60% of our respective votes. So kudos to you, Joe.
Yeah, congrats on the big dog.
I couldn't lose to the intern, man.
Especially because he was going in, man. He
was... Listen, I don't know if Carter actually listens to this show, but Carter, you are like massively on my shit list.
All right. Does that mean I'm off the shit list for what I said at the beginning of this podcast?
Yes. Okay. But it's Carter was like, anybody who said I voted for Carter because of this, Carter's like, yeah, you're right. Kyle's an idiot. Like, he didn't say like Kyle's an idiot, but like he trashed my mock and my thought process every step of the way.
Yeah.
He's photoshopping tweets of me saying it is with deep regret that I must inform you that Carter's mock is vastly superior to mine. Sincerely, Kyle. It's got my header of the tweet above it.
He's got to take the L, Carter, you know, move
this,
on.
This kid came out with every ounce of firepower that he had in the first 2 hours of polling. All of his buddies quote tweet, hashtag vote for Carter. And he got himself up to 39%. So good job, Carter. But
so this is the last time that we're going to talk until we go toe to toe. Are we good? Are we going to be able to get through this? One of us is going to lose.
One of us is going to lose, but the other one has to go on and win. Like if I lose to you, I don't care as long as our side of the bracket brings home the chip.
Yeah.
But Trevor spanked Dre, which was disrespectful. Right. I was disheartened to see. I was rooting for Dre a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's Dre's first career mock draft. Dude's a 7-year NFL scout. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do a mock. Like, I'm not going to hold anything back. And because it wasn't like pandered to fans, everybody's like, nah, I don't want that to happen. And Dre's like, well, I'm not trying to give you what you want to happen. I'm trying to tell you what might actually happen. And then Jordan versus Ben is wire to wire right now.
Yeah, that one's fun. And Jordan was up by like 5 points, and like Ben took the lead late last night. I don't know where it's at this morning, but
I think he's buying votes or something.
Solak, could you think? I mean, Solak 30. Probably forgot that he was in the competition, and all of a sudden he's winning in typical Solak fashion.
All right, this is fun. This is the last thing I'm gonna do. I'm gonna scroll through here and see if he's asked people to vote for him once.
I don't think he has.
Oh, you know what his problem was? He put Herbert to Miami.
Yeah, he didn't give the Dolphins any offensive linemen. None.
Really? Carter didn't do that either.
Well, that's going to get you an L.
Well, now I want him to win. No. I want Jordan to win because I think Jordan could actually beat
Trevor.
Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor can't get to the finals.
Holy shit, Ben. You had the Dolphins walk away with a quarterback. You had him walk away with Justin Herbert, Zach Bond, and Xavier McKinney in the first round. Who's going to block for this man? We're done. We'll see you tomorrow. The interior defensive lineman. Come back and see us. Thanks for listening to Draft Dudes. Kyle Krabs signing off with Joe Marino. Make sure you get your votes in. Polls close today at noon, so you get a couple hours once this podcast posts. And then keep an eye out. Wednesday, Joe and I are dropping our 2-round mocks as we go head-to-head in Mock Madness.